I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. My colleague and friend, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill, here to introduce us to the Chinese social credit system in North America. And to help us with this, Charles Burton joins us because the North America we're talking about is where Charles lives, Canada. He's a senior fellow at the Macdonald Laurier Institute for Canada's interests abroad, but this is at home, Vancouver. Charles, I read an investigation piece recently published that says that Chinese firms operating restaurants and other facilities in the Vancouver region are installing surveillance cameras, many surveillance cameras. To what end? What do we understand that China wants from Canada to watch you dine? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, I think it's not so much watching about table manners, but more about who's saying what to whom in the restaurants and who is brought to that restaurant where there are two cameras per table. It's a Haidi Lao hot pot restaurant, one of 965 of these Sichuan, China-based chain restaurants, located conveniently near to the Huawei office that has been set up while the Huawei CFO is in Canada pending extradition to the United States. And, of course, Vancouver is a center for Chinese immigration and, regrettably, for the activities of Chinese triad gangs, money laundering through casinos and real estate, and a lot of it evidently coordinated through people in the Chinese consulate in Vancouver. So, you know, this is the first of a study that's being done by the authors of the article, Scott McGregor and Ina Mitchell. A book will be coming out in the fall about China's hybrid war in North America entitled The Mosaic Effect. So I think that we'll be learning more about how Chinese surveillance extends itself into the West, not just the cameras that are pointing out of the consulates and embassies, recording who's demonstrating in front of them, but, you know, including, say, massive data breaches of the Office of Personnel Management in Washington when they got 22 million records, and all sorts of ability through artificial intelligence to put together all this data and come up with a common file on people for God knows what use.
Gordon, what is the social credit system that we understand is installed in China now and could be coming our way? How does it work, Gordon?
Yeah, China takes all the information that it obtains, security cameras and everything else, and they feed them into this social credit system, which is supposed to be nationwide. I think they're still trying to stitch it together. But what happens is every Chinese citizen is given a score, and that score is constantly updated, up or down, depending on observed behaviors. So if you're seen jaywalking, your score will go down. If, for instance, you say nice things about Xi Jinping, your score will go up. And this is, as I mentioned, is now being extended everywhere, as Charles has been talking about.
You have a question for Charles, Gordon.
Charles, Vancouver obviously is a place where there are many Chinese, ethnic Chinese, some Canadians, some Chinese citizens. Do you think that this system is going to be extended nationwide? And if so, do you think it's going to be everywhere?
Well, I think it's worldwide. There's really nothing about the Internet that prevents the Chinese state from trying to establish information on everybody of interest to them throughout the world for strategic purposes, you know, particularly if we're facing an upcoming Cold War with China, as appears to be the case. So, you know, I'd say that the social credit score of you and me and John is going down minute by minute the longer we talk. And if they do have this amazing ability to put together facial recognition cameras, analyze audio, and pick out the things that are of interest to the Chinese state and pick up on personnel files, know who gambles, who travels, you know, who has other personal defects, then that can be very useful in terms of subversion of the West by the Chinese state. But as you say, one just can't imagine if they can actually deal with so much data and come up with useful product to further their interests.
This is
Charles, our scores can't go down because we're already at zero. Well, so I'm sorry, but you're not getting a negative score because of this interview.
This is the part of the interview where I want to speak to Shanghai. I always remind them, we're going to broadcast this. There'll be a podcast. You don't have to surveil us right now. However, it's their job. Charles, this is a puzzle. Not about what's going on in Vancouver. I understand the Chinese spy. They intimidate. They mean to intimidate the diaspora because of its connections to the future, to the freedom, to the information it has. But the Canadian government, I read this from the article in the Sunday Guardian, Director David Vinault of Canada's Security Intelligence Services says practical things. To be clear, the threat does not come from the Chinese people, but rather the government of China that is pursuing a strategy for geopolitical advantage on all fronts, economic, technical, political, and military, and using all elements of state power to carry out activities that are a direct threat to our national security and sovereignty. We must all strengthen our defenses. That's a very commonsensical statement. And yet elsewhere in the article, I find that members of the government from Vancouver all the way to Ottawa do not have an opinion or do not express their opinion. Is this a controversy? Is Trudeau's government asked to answer, is it okay to spy on people in restaurants?
Well, that's the question, really. Are there people who are in the corporate and political elite of Canada who urge our government to turn a blind eye to these kind of activities, which are against the law? You know, there is a Charter of Rights and Freedoms in Canada which should prevent you from being unknowingly subject to surveillance while you're enjoying a nice spicy hot pot in a chain restaurant in Vancouver. And evidently nobody is going over to that restaurant to ask about what's going on with those 60 cameras in a restaurant with 30 tables. So this is a cause for concern. And obviously the Chinese government would be unhappy if the Canadian government took any action against it. But I guess, if they're successful in installing this kind of system in that restaurant, then what stops them from, if there are no consequences, from extending this elsewhere? And after all, they already have 200 million cameras in China with facial recognition technology and voice capability. So what's a couple of million in Canada in comparison?
Gordon?
Charles, China obviously wants to extend its surveillance. Is there anything that's going to stop it as a practical matter? I mean, John just mentioned that the Canadian government obviously is not going to stop it. But is there anything else that you think might inhibit their plans?
Well, of course, in the past, as you know, I think it was President Obama who came up with some sort of deal with President Xi that they wouldn't engage in anything but military and security espionage and would lay off corporate and other espionage. That, you know, I think that deal was worth about as much as the piece of paper it was written on. I mean, clearly our governments need to become more sophisticated and aware of the agenda of the Chinese state in North America and devote more resources and have more expertise there to try and prevent them from taking advantage. Right now, there's a very sophisticated, heavily funded Chinese action to further Chinese interests through these covert, corrupt, and coercive means, particularly, as you say, directed against Chinese persons of Chinese origin who are citizens of Canada and the United States and wish to live in democracy and freedom. I think we have to stop tolerating it, recognize what's going on, put the resources into it, and start expelling Chinese spies and diplomats who are exceeding the acceptable range of activities for someone with diplomatic status in either Canada or the United States.
We have about a minute, Charles. This was published in a very prominent newspaper within these last days. Has there been controversy about it? Have people been talking about it on the television, or is there any reason to believe that the government is now paying attention?
Well, I think that, you know, I have seen some commentary about it, questioning the extent to which it exists. There's only reference to the one restaurant, and also whether this information is really being fed into the social credit system. There's no reason why it shouldn't be, but we just don't know because we haven't seen the consequences of what's going on. In other words, we haven't heard about people who have got into trouble because of something they said, which they thought was private in a conversation in a restaurant. But that will inevitably come, and I think it's time for, you know, the relevant departments to be looking at Chinese state associated restaurant chains and see if they're installing similar systems, and if they are, deciding what we have to do about it, which I think is take them out.
Charles Burton, Senior Fellow, Center for Advancing Canada's Interests Abroad at the Macdonald Laurier Institute, Gordon Chang, @GordonG. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.